Good morning. This morning I want to continue to work through the Psalms as we think together and explore those with you. I've said this before, but it's just so true that the Psalms are just such a rich treasure from God. There's just so much there for our heart and our soul. They're challenging at times. There's sometimes we'll read or pray or sing Psalms and they make us uncomfortable. But the Psalms are giving voice to our emotions, our fears, our doubts, our angers, our anxieties, our shame, our feelings of loneliness, all those things that we struggle with, but also our joys, our awe, our appreciation. The Psalms give voice to all those things we experience. The Psalms meet us in the extreme highs and the extreme lows and everywhere in between, and in all these different feelings and circumstances, the Psalms teach us to turn to God, to direct our heart toward God in prayer and in song, in trust and praise. The Psalms contain many expressions of trust and praise, beautiful statements of just personal commitment to God, personal dependence upon God. And so this morning, as we walk through some of the Psalms, I want to just listen to some of these expressions of trust and praise. Look particularly at the "You are my" statements or the "Lord is my" fill in the blank statements. And so I want to after we just take some time to walk through the Psalms and just hear some of these expressions, want to then take a few minutes to step back and think about how these statements teach us to trust and praise God as well. I'm going to reference several here. If you want to turn, you can, but I have a sense you'll just be spending more time turning than being able to hear. So if you would maybe just listen as I read, and I'll try to read these slow. I want to kind of give us a chance to let these just sort of run over our minds and in our hearts as we listen to these. The first is from Psalm 3 that Austin just read from us. And so here's a psalm where David is in this life and death situation. He's crying out to God for help. But he says this in verse 3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." Think how he's identifying as this great warrior who would go out in battle, who would carry his shield with him. "No, you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." The second is in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is another lament, another cry for help. What's interesting about that psalm is there's only one request. It's at the very beginning of the psalm. "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." The rest of this psalm is just expressions of confidence in God. But he says this in verse 2. "You are my Lord. I have no good besides you." Think about that. Commitment to God as Lord, but to say there's no good apart from him, no good besides him. He says a little bit later in Psalm 16, verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." You know, you think about how important the idea of inheritance was to the Jewish people, the land in particular, and to say, it's not the land that's the blessing. You are my inheritance. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. In Psalm 18, this is a psalm that is a psalm of thanksgiving that's looking back over many of the victories that David received from God. And finally, when he was delivered from Saul, he says this at the beginning, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Right? All these pictures of defense and protection and safety, that's God. One that's very familiar to many people, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then the psalm goes on to describe these just pictures of the Lord's protection and provision as a shepherd. Psalm 27, we sing this phrase, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread?" In Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults and with my song I shall thank him." In Psalm 31, "For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake you will lead me and guide me." A little bit later in Psalm 31, You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. In Psalm 38, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. In Psalm 40, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. In Psalm 43, therefore I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Isn't that beautiful? God, who is my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. In Psalm 54, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. In Psalm 59, my strength I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. A little bit later in Psalm 59, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. The next verse in Psalm 59, verse 17. O my strength, I sing praises to you. I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God of my loving kindness. In Psalm 62 and verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not greatly be shaken. In verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken, in case we missed it the first time. Verse 7, O God, my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Psalm 63 and verse 6, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Psalm 70 and verse 5, but I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Psalm 71, be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Hear that prayer. Be to me a rock of habitation which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Verse 5 of Psalm 71, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. And verse 7, I have become a marvel to many, for you are my refuge. I'm sorry, you are my strong refuge, he says. Psalm 73 and verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Psalm 91, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Psalm 94, but the Lord has been my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Later in Psalm 118, I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. Psalm 118, you are my God, and I give thanks to you. My God, I extol you. And all that emphasis on salvation in Psalm 118, and that's the psalm Jesus quotes and sings in connection with the Lord's Supper. Psalm 144, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness, and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And Psalm 146, I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And so you just think about all those rich phrases we've seen of again, expressions of trust, expressions of praise. I want to just read the phrases that you see. So the Lord is my fill in the blank. My shield, my glory, my inheritance, my cup, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my shepherd, my light, my salvation, the defense of my life, my help, my helper, my exceeding joy, the sustainer of my soul, my refuge, my hope, my confidence, my strong refuge, the strength of my heart, my portion, my good, my song, my loving kindness, my God. Beautiful, rich statements, images of trust and praise. All these, and you think about so many of these, and there's a variety in here, but you've got so many that are images of safety and security and success. You've got all these images of protection, images of provision, of prosperity, of comfort, of confidence. You've got images that relate to physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being. You've got images that focus on just basic human needs, and you've got images of rich abundance. And so many of these images are depicting the things that we would rely on, the things that we depend on, the things that we run to and put all our trust and our hope in. But these are personal images, expressions of personal devotion and personal relationship. I want you to think about how he says this. He's not saying the Lord is a light. He's saying the Lord is my light. He's not saying the Lord is just a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. And he's not just saying the Lord is just a rock, or even the rock, as much as that's true, but the Lord is my rock. And then the other thing I will want us to see is that these images are so God-centered, God-saturated. It's not just that the Lord gives these things, it's that the Lord is these things. The Lord is the source of blessing and the blessing, right? Do you see that? He's not saying, okay, the Lord gives me my inheritance. The Lord is my inheritance. He doesn't just say the Lord gives me light. He is my light. So the Lord is the source of blessing and the blessing. The Lord is the giver and the gift. But we would even come back and underscore, he's especially the gift. So what a shield means for a warrior in battle, the Lord himself is, and even more so. Or what light is for those who are afraid and alone in the dark, the Lord himself is, and even more so. And what glory or reputation or image that I can manufacture on my own or achieve on my own, the Lord himself is, and even more so. What prosperity I can achieve on my own efforts, the Lord himself is, and even more so. Whatever pleasure I can find in life through whatever things I navigate and pursue and go after, the Lord himself is, and even more so. So let's try this for ourselves, all right? The Lord is my fill in the blank. All right, so what do you pursue? All right, so this is personal. We won't do congregational recitation here, but do think in your hearts. What do you pursue? What do you put your trust in? What do you turn to for comfort, for escape? What do you find pleasures and joy in? These things that you can cling to and see, no, this is really the Lord. My bank account, my wealth, my investment portfolio, my IRA and 401k, right? Think about all the things that relate to our financial well-being and security and our retirement, all that stuff. No, the Lord is my retirement, right? The Lord is my wealth. Or for our students in the room, my GPA, my diploma, my resume, my portfolio, my career, my promotions, right? All these things that we pursue, that we invest in, that we put all our trust in, that we give all our energy to. No, the Lord is these things. Or those that have struggled with all sorts of health issues, my doctor, my medicine, my hospital, right? Or just the simple things in life, the things we turn to just maybe on a daily basis for either that comfort or that escape or that fix or whatever, my cup of coffee. My bowl of ice cream before bed, right? Those things that we go to. Or those who are invested in social media. Likes on my social media account. Or comments on my social media post. In all this, right? All these different touch points in our lives, this is our heart searching for God. Whatever fundamental, deep down security and provision we're seeking in our retirement account, that can only come from God. Whatever fundamental, deep-down comfort or pleasure we seek in that cup of coffee or bowl of ice cream, God alone can provide. Whatever fundamental sense of honor or worth or validation we're seeking through social media posts or whatever, however we put ourselves out there, God alone can provide. And then sometimes we find ourselves turning to things that are even more destructive, more destructive practices for validation or for escape, and pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol, partying, and whatever we're seeking for and groping for when we give ourselves to these enslaving, sinful vices, deep down we're searching for something and reaching for something that only God alone can satisfy. And again, not just something He gives, but Himself, God Himself. And we're all seeking something. And so maybe you've not identified with the most extreme sinful vices, but again, we're all searching for something, whether relationship, validation, respect, love, prosperity, some kind of escape, comfort, whatever it is. Again, that seeking, that groping is searching for something that can be found only in God, searching for God Himself. We were created for relationship with our Creator. We were made in the image of God, made for His will and for close personal fellowship with Him. And our heart can only know peace and joy when we know God and trust Him with all that we are. When we can say confidently and see Him not just as a light, but as my light. When we see Him not just as a source of blessing, but as the blessing itself. So here's your homework, okay? I'm giving homework today. I haven't for a while. Had an easy couple months, right? Homework. Get alone with God. Just take some time and be still in His presence and search your heart. Wrestle in prayer, struggle through faith, but be able to just fill in the blank. The Lord is my... And really come to grips with that, right? Don't just be able to answer the question on a quiz, but like own it, know it, live it, right? So that's your homework. It's easy. No, it's not. It's easy to understand. The Lord is my... What would that be to you? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise You. You are amazing and awesome. So powerful and wise. Your patience continually blows us away. When we think about how often we fail or give into weakness or get distracted or give our hearts to things that just are nothing. And yet You continue to put Yourself out there and hold out for us and reach Your hand out. And You've gone so far as to send Your Son to put on flesh, to experience rejection, even more personally, and to suffer through that and experience that shame and to die. But You raised Him from the dead. And even in His death, You accomplished forgiveness of sins and defeated Satan. You raised Him from the dead and You've exalted Him to Your right hand where He reigns, continuing to overcome enemies and intercede for us in our weakness. God, thank You for Your grace that is just so rich, that You've lavished on us so richly, Your mercy, Your kindness, extreme kindness in Jesus. God, help us all to have pure hearts for You alone, that we'll not ever try to serve two masters, that we'll only lay up treasure with You and recognize that You are the blessing, that You are the gift, and to love You more. And as Paul recognized, certain accomplishments in his own life, he said he counts all that as rubbish in comparison to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus, my Lord. And may we all have that same mind and heart to see the emptiness of so many things that we pursue and to recognize the only thing of true and lasting value of any substance at all, of any worth, where the only place where we'll find peace and joy is in knowing You through knowing Your Son. God, thank You for Your grace upon grace. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would open up your songbooks to 318, Be Thou My Vision. We have an opportunity now to sing kind of what we just looked at in the Psalms. Because you notice the song is not saying, God, give me vision. It's saying, be my vision, right? And so there's a few expressions in this psalm, in this song, where we'll get to get to pray and sing some of the same things. And so if you need prayers and need encouragement, need anything, if you're ready to walk with Christ and put on the Lord in baptism, if there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.